We are still living in the era where nations are changed, where strongholds are torn down, where mountains are moved. And I'd love to just talk a little bit this morning about what that looks like. How are nations changed? How are mountains moved? How are strongholds torn down? Well, it does require faith. I'd love to look at this passage in the book of Matthew. You're a Bible-believing church here. Is that right? So it's okay to open up to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, you have the time when Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with three of his disciples. And it sounds like the other nine disciples were down there in the community, kind of at the foot of the mountain there. And Jesus is at the top. The disciples are down below. And a father comes to the nine disciples that are down at the foot of the mountain there with his son, with his demon-possessed son. And the father comes to the disciples and says, "Hey, guys, can you help my son? He's severely demon-possessed, and he needs help." So the disciples had been around Jesus long enough. They said, "Yeah, sure, bring him to us, and we'll help him out." And so they bring him, the father brings the boy to the disciples, and the disciples do what they've been taught to do and what they've seen Jesus do and what they've experienced with Jesus, and they begin to command the spirits to leave this little boy, to stop tormenting this little boy. And they get the boy, and in the name of Jesus, we command you to loose this boy. We command you to get out of his life. We command you to take your hands off of him and be free in the name of Jesus. And the spirits begin to fight back. And the spirits begin to talk back and say, "We're not going anywhere, and we're going to stay here." The fight is on. The fight is on. And so the disciples are there, and they're commanding these spirits to loosen this boy. The spirits are fighting back. "We're not going to leave. We like it here." And so they get into it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And they're kind of looking at each other. "This is going to be over really soon, right?" 25 minutes, 30 minutes. They're growing a bit weary. This boy doesn't seem to be getting any better at all. And the father is concerned. The disciples are, "Come on, Lord, you got to show up anytime here now. Help us out here." And it seems like they're not getting any progress at all. I can understand the disciples' scenario. Several years ago, I was teaching a Bible study at the church. And our congregation is 95% first-time converts, almost all of them are from Buddhist backgrounds, and it's very real, very raw when someone comes to the Lord. And so I was teaching this Bible study, going through the four Gospels, and going through some of the different teachings, some of the different miracles of Jesus. And one of the young men, a young man named Sarut, he said, "Teacher, does Jesus still do miracles like this?" So, standard answer, "Yes, of course, young man. Yeah, thanks for your question." "Okay, great. Because in my village, on the outskirts of Phnom Penh, there's a lady that she is the village demoniac. She's the village demon-possessed lady. Can you guys help her out?" You know, this is in the Bible study here. Put on the spot. "Yeah, of course Jesus can help her out." "Great. When can you guys go out?" "Okay, all right, yeah, we'll go out there then." And so we arranged to go to the outskirts of the city there, a village setting, and he brought us to the house where this demon-possessed girl lived with her elderly mother. We asked some questions, tried to understand what this scenario was. Sounds like the father was very involved in sorcery and witchcraft before he passed away. And this girl was 32 years old. She'd been like this since she was 12 years old. So she was like this for 20 years. She would stay up all night talking and hearing voices. She no longer addressed her mom or any of the villagers or any of the relatives in the village by their proper names, but only used vulgar curse words to address them. Very violent. They said that little kids that would be playing soccer around there, if they came near the house, she'd chase them with sticks and throw things at them, curse at them. And she didn't bathe. She hardly ate. And so we finally met the mother and asked the mother, explained the mother who we were and what we would like to help out with her daughter. The mother agreed. And then we met this young lady, Nat. And wild-eyed, hadn't bathed in a long time, unkept hair. And you could tell there was a dark presence around her. And so we brought her up to the wooden house, and we began to attempt to do what we knew how to do. And we wanted to get this girl set free. It took about five of us to hold her down as she was screaming and cursing and biting and scratching as these spirits. And we just began to command these spirits to leave her. 5 minutes into it, you spirits, let this girl go. Let this girl go. We claim her for Jesus. You spirits, loosen her in the name of Jesus. And they were fighting back. They were angry. Like I said, wild eyes, scratching, biting, cursing. We had to hold her down. And we got into this for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. That's when we started kind of taking turns. Okay, your turn. I'm losing my voice here, you know. Okay, now your turn. And we went at it for about an hour. And zero progress. Zero progress. These spirits, they were angry. They were not leaving. And we put up a fight for about an hour. And by that time, we were so exhausted and we didn't see even any progress. And so we kind of stepped back and said, well, let's regroup and let's try again next week. And so we told the mother, we're going to come back next week and we're going to help your daughter out. So the next week, we came back, a group of us again. And same thing, brought her up in the wooden house, began to pray, began to cast these demons out, held her down, scratching, biting, cursing. I speak the Cambodian language quite well, but I learned a few new words that day. Same thing, 5, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour into this, no progress. So, same thing. All right, let's step back. Let's regroup. Let's come back next week. You get in a scenario like this, and I don't know about you. I don't want to lose. I mean, come on, we're doing this in the name of Jesus, and I don't really understand exactly how to do this, but we got ourselves in the middle of this now, and we gotta do this. We gotta get some glory for God. Amen? And so, third week, came back. Same thing. Held her down, screaming. These demons are screaming, cursing, fighting. And it looked like no progress at all. So we said, all right, we're going to come back again next week. But the next week, I really spent some time just seeking God. And God, we need a breakthrough here. And I felt like for that particular week and for that particular instance that the Lord gave me a particular strategy. And I felt like he said, just proclaim the victory of Christ all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And so I wrote down a good probably 40 different passages, just the victory of Christ, the finished work of Christ, the blood of Jesus. And so we got there, same thing, had to hold her down, and these demons are angry. But I just began to proclaim from Genesis, you know, the serpent's head being crushed all the way through Revelation. And just begin to proclaim the victory of Christ. And these demons, they're shouting, they're screaming back. But we just proclaimed that all the way through. Got to the final passage. And all right, I guess we did what we're supposed to do today. We'll come back again next week. Went back to the city. But later that week, we heard that there had been a transformation. And we heard that there was a change in this young lady and that something had shifted, something had broken off of her. And so when we went back the final week, the fifth week, we were greeted by a shy, timid 32-year-old who kind of had the character of a 12-year-old. She was properly dressed. Her hair was combed. She was bathed. She came down the steps of the wooden house and greeted us. There was a meal that she had prepared together with her mother. And this girl had been completely set free. She had been completely set free. We conversed with her and, you know, who's this person over here? We brought some of the villagers and some of the neighbors along and who's this? And she called them by their proper names. She was able to recognize them and this is so-and-so and this is so-and-so. And like I said, she was kind of timid, maybe like a 12-year-old girl, but this girl was in her right mind, had been completely set free. So I understand the disciples' scenario where they are here and they are commanding these demons to leave, and these demons, they don't look like they're going anywhere. And they're going longer and longer and longer into the day, hours, and they're getting exhausted. And then right about that time, that's when Jesus comes down. That's what we'll take a look at this in Matthew chapter 17. Is everyone doing okay this morning? We're doing all right? Matthew chapter 17, verse, we'll take a look at starting in verse 14, says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and he's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. So this guy finally sees Jesus coming along and he says, forget you guys, I'm going to Jesus. And the disciples are probably relieved as well. Jesus' statement here, verse 17, he says, O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And you notice the first word he says, this unbelieving, there's this issue of faith here. Jesus rebuked the demon, it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Verse 19, a little bit later, Jesus' disciples came to him in private, you know, after the crowd had kind of dispersed, and Lord, what did we do wrong? We followed the formula. What did we do wrong? Why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little, what? Because you have so little faith. Now, we're reading from the NIV here, but I want to show you something really important here in just a moment. Jesus said, the reason you couldn't drive it out because your faith was so little. Then he said, but I tell you, if you have faith, and we're going to look at this, but I want to look at another translation here in just a moment. Here it says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I want to show you another translation here. New King James would have the same wording. This is the English Standard Version. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. I want to point out to you that in the original Greek, that it actually says, if you have faith like a mustard seed. It actually doesn't say faith as small as a mustard seed. Now, I know if we look through the New Testament, there's a few different passages that talk about the mustard seed. There's another passage that talks about the parable of the mustard seed, and the kingdom of God starts small like a mustard seed, but it grows into this great plant. And so that parable, it's focusing on the size of the mustard seed growing into this great plant. But if you look at the original, both in this passage and in the other passage where he talks about speaking to the sycamore tree and commanding the sycamore tree to be removed, and if you have faith, both of those passages, they say, if you have faith like a mustard seed. Everyone say, faith like a mustard seed. Tell your neighbor, you need faith like a mustard seed. Take a look at this. This is just what we call the interlinear translation. And it shows the original Greek. We'll go to the next slide here. It shows the original Greek. You might not be able to see that, but the original Greek, it says, because the on the top line there, because of your little faith. And then the second line, the middle line there, it says, if you have faith as a seed of mustard. If you have faith as a seed of mustard. Next slide. What does that word as mean? In the next slide here. That word as actually has nothing to do with size. They've added that in certain translations of our Bible because it kind of made sense to them. But in the original Greek, it actually does not say faith as small as a mustard seed. Everyone say faith like a mustard seed. So what was Jesus saying? The disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, we were working on this for hours and we couldn't get any progress. And you came down and took care of it right away. What did we do wrong, Lord? And his answer was, well, your faith was too little. Jesus did not turn around and say, your faith was too little. But if you have tiny faith like a mustard seed, you could have gotten that. What does that mean? That doesn't make sense. That's not what Jesus was saying. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed. Like Pastor Roger mentioned, I'm originally from the United States, from the state of Oregon, and we have what we call the Willamette Valley there, a lot of farming there in the Willamette Valley, and there's actually a lot of mustard seed farmers there. I've talked to some of the mustard seed farmers. Here's a picture of some mustard fields, and in talking to the mustard seed farmers, those that grow mustard, I found out that the mustard seed has some very unique attributes. The mustard seed's nickname is the troublesome seed. The troublesome seed. Because the mustard seed is known as one of the most robust seeds around. It's known as a seed that you don't want to accidentally plant it. Because even if it's not the right time of year, even if it's not the best soil conditions, if you accidentally let that seed fall out of the bag somewhere, it will grow. It's the troublesome seed. What was Jesus saying when Jesus said, when the disciples came and said, Lord, we were trying to cast this demon out. We were trying to help this girl out. We were trying to get her set free. We were believing for a breakthrough. And what did we do wrong? Jesus said, you should have had mustard seed faith. What was Jesus saying? You should have had faith that is robust, that is persistent, like the mustard seed. If you had faith like a mustard seed, you could even say to a mountain, be moved, and it would be moved. How are mountains moved? How are strongholds torn down? How are nations changed? There may be a few unique people that just have some of that mountain-moving faith that can just speak, boom, the mountain's gone, the obstacle's gone. That's awesome. But for the rest of us normal folks, for the rest of us normal people, how do we move mountains? Well, the old saying says, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? How do you move a mountain? You just keep chipping away at the mountain. What was Jesus saying to his disciples? Lord, what did we do wrong? You guys just gave up too early. That's all. You just gave up. If you would have kept on keeping on, that spirit would have eventually left. You just needed to have a bit more robust faith. You just needed to have a bit more persistent faith. Troublesome faith. Faith that is troublesome to the kingdom of darkness. What does troublesome faith to the kingdom of darkness look like? It's just faith that doesn't give up. It may not be the largest, most macho, muscular faith around, but it is faith that says, you know what? I'm just not going to give up. That's how nations are changed. That's how mountains are moved. That's where breakthroughs come. That's where strongholds are torn down. Can I challenge you this morning, church? On a personal level, what are you believing for? What family members are you believing for? What breakthroughs are you believing for? What words from God that God has spoken to you that it's been a long time coming. And maybe you think, I don't know, maybe that was just, you know, maybe that was just my emotions or my ambition. What has God spoken to you? What about that family member that you think, I don't know, maybe they're just too far gone? What about that open door that you're believing for in the community here? What about some of those people that you've been reaching? What's it going to take to reach them? And sometimes we look at them and we think, I don't know, man, they just seem so stubborn and they're not interested and they're too far gone or they're too messed up or they're just too antagonistic. But what if the Lord were to just impart to us some mustard seed faith, some persistent faith, some faith that says to the kingdom of darkness, I'm not giving up. I'm not backing down. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue to believe for my family members. I'm going to continue to believe for my health. I'm going to continue to believe for my finances. I'm going to continue to believe for my community. I'm going to continue to believe for open heavens in my community, for the kingdom of God to come. How many people reckon we could use a good touch of some troublesome faith? Amen? Some mustard seed troublesome faith. You know, you have the passage in Luke chapter 18. And in many Bibles, they put the title of that passage, The Parable of the Persistent Widow. The Parable of the Persistent Widow. And it's interesting when you read it. It talks about this widow that she had an injustice happen to her. She went to an ungodly judge. And the ungodly judge basically said, you know what? I'm not going to deal with it right now. It's not important to me. But it says that this widow kept going. She kept going and she kept persisting. No, sir, you have to right my wrong. No, sir, you have to right my wrong. You have to bring justice to this situation. And it says that not because the judge was a godly judge, but purely because of this woman's persistence, eventually he said, okay, you're pestering me too much. You're bothering me too much. What do you want me to do for you? And as Jesus is telling this story, verse 8, look at verse 8 in Luke chapter 18. As Jesus is telling this story, he finishes off with this phrase. We'll go ahead and jump all the way to verse 8 here. Jesus, he almost seems to change topics. Like sometimes we read in the Gospels and we think, he was talking about this, now he's talking about this. How is this related? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. And then the final phrase, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let's go ahead and read that all together, starting with however. 1, 2, 3. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus, what are you talking about? We're all people of faith. There's lots of people of faith all around. What do you mean? At the second coming of Jesus, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? What does that have to do with anything? I think Jesus foresaw our instant results, drive through, push a button, get what we need right away, generation that we live in. And I think Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will I be able to find any persistent faith? There's lots of people of faith, but in this instant results generation that we live in, that we just want everything right away. And hey, I love the instantaneous miracles. I love the instantaneous breakthroughs. Praise God, the more the better. But when that doesn't happen, can we be a people that would say, you know what? I'm just going to keep on keeping on. God's promises are true. His word remains true. His goodness endures forever. The work on the cross is finished. And what if we were to just say, God, give us a fresh touch, a fresh dose of that persistent mustard seed faith. Amen? Is that okay with everyone this morning? How many reckon this morning, both on a personal level, and I even believe on a corporate level for the church? Pastor Roger, the building. You know, the building. Come on. Personal breakthroughs. those that the lost ones that you're believing for. What if we were to just say, God, give us some persistent faith? How many can receive that this morning? Would it be okay if we just stood for a moment this morning? Is this okay, everyone? I want to tell you, we're still living in the era where nations can be changed. I'm seeing it firsthand in Cambodia. We're back in 95. We had a big vision, a big word from God, and that was about it. And we don't have any superstars there in Cambodia, but one thing that we have been able to kind of latch on to is just keep on keeping on. Just don't give up. Just keep moving. Just keep going forward. How many here would say that there's loved ones and individuals that you're believing to have real encounters with Jesus? Some of it's been a long time in the coming. Some of it's been a long time in the coming, and it's easy to look at the circumstances. And just like Jesus' disciples, or just like our 5 weeks with this young lady, Nat, it's very easy to get intimidated by the circumstances that we see and think, I don't know how that's going to happen. Maybe there's a physical healing. Maybe there's just a real financial turnaround that you've just really been seeking God for. Maybe there's something even just in your own personal life that you're saying, God, I need a transformation. I need a shift. I need a change here. Can I just encourage you this morning? Just keep on keeping on. He's on our side. He's faithful. He's with us. Keep chipping away at those mountains. They are crumbling. Strongholds are coming down. Breakthroughs are coming. But let's just have some of that robust, mountain-moving, persistent faith that's troublesome to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Is that all right? What if we were to just respond right now, just this morning, and maybe just where you're at right now? What if we were to just say, God, yeah, I believe. I believe that your word remains true, your promises remain true, your goodness does endure forever. And Father God, I'm not backing down. You may even need to say it to the devil. Devil, I'm not backing down. I'm not taking steps backward, but I will be troublesome to the world system. I'll be troublesome to the kingdom of darkness. I will continue to move forward, and God's kingdom will continue to come. Father God, we just thank you, Lord.